Medieval History, April 20 through 24. Tuesday, April 21st. History Unit, Feudalism. Lesson 5, Chivalry. Lesson 5, Socratic Question. Keep this question in mind as you study this lesson. What is a knight? Be able to do this by the end of the lesson. Number 1. Differentiate the two polar virtues of chivalry. Introduction to Lesson. Today marks our last day of feudalism, where we have been learning about kings, dukes, and counts. On this final day, let's dive deeper into one of the most fascinating topics related to feudalism, the knight. Specifically, we will learn about the code of chivalry that knights were bound to follow if they were to be good and honorable knights. First, let's get some of our own ideas of chivalry down on paper. There are many definitions of chivalry floating around today. From your own understanding up to this point, write down what you think it means for a knight to be chivalrous in the space below. What does it mean for a knight to be chivalrous? Knights of the Round Table. If you were to ask someone who the most famous knights are in all of Western literature, that person would probably think of King Arthur's Knights of the Round Table. According to legend, these knights formed a fellowship at the service of King Arthur. The king gave them the duty of protecting his kingdom, ensuring peace, and going on quests. The greatest of these quests being one where they were to find the Holy Grail, that is, the chalice or cup that Jesus and his apostles drank out of during the Last Supper. Actually, there are two Holy Grails. The other one was a cup that, according to tradition, was used to collect drops of Jesus' blood as he hung on the cross. Having a table that was in the shape of a circle was a little odd for a group of medieval nobles. Usually, a table would be rectangular, with the most important nobles sitting at the ends or in the middle to show that they had prestige or authority over the others. Turn to page 7. What message did these knights communicate then by sitting at a round table rather than a rectangular one? Write your answer below. Sir Thomas Malory was an English writer from the 1400s who collected many of the legends about Arthur and his knights in a book called The Death of Arthur. In the final chapter of the book, Sir Lancelot has died, and Lancelot's brother, knight Sir Ector, grieves over Lancelot's body and lists some of the virtues that he had during his life. Read what Sir Ector says about Sir Lancelot. "Ah, Lancelot," he said, "thou were head of all Christian knights, and now I dare say, thou, Sir Lancelot, there you lie, that you were never matched of earthly knight's hand, and you were the most courteous knight that ever bare shield, and thou were the truest friend to thy lover that ever bestrad horse, and thou were the truest lover of a sinful man that ever loved woman, and thou were the kindest man that ever struck with sword, and thou were the goodliest person that ever came among press of knights, and thou was the meekest man and the gentlest that ever ate in hall among ladies, and thou were the sternest knight to thy mortal foe that ever put spear in the rest." Summarize the underlying sentence in your own words. That is the sentence that reads, "And thou was the meekest man and the gentlest that ever ate in hall among ladies." Summarize the boldest sentence in your own words. And that's the sentence that reads, "And thou were the sternest knight to thy mortal foe that ever put spear in the rest." Turn to page 8. The two polar virtues of chivalry. These last two sentences are especially interesting. Is it really possible for the same man to be both genuinely meek and gentle and stern and violent? C.S. Lewis wrote about the importance of chivalry, and he said, "The important thing about chivalry is, of course, the double demand it makes on human nature. The knight is a man of blood and iron. a man familiar with the sight of smashed faces and the ragged stumps of lopped-off limbs. He is also a demure, almost a maiden-like, guest in hall, a gentle, modest, unobtrusive man. Lewis goes on to say that a chivalrous man is not a medium between gentleness and ferocity like this image would suggest. Instead, Lewis says that a chivalrous person is gentle to the maximum degree, while at the same time being fierce to the maximum degree. He says it more like this. A chivalrous man has 100% gentleness and 100% veracity simultaneously. With this idea in mind, we can begin to see the importance of chivalry in a knight. Imagine someone who only had one of these two virtues, but not both. Either he would be meek, and even cowardly, useless in war and situations that require bravery, or he would be only bloodthirsty and violent, with no peacefulness to tone down his rage. People are naturally one or the other, but it takes hard work to become chivalric. Check for understanding. Directions. Describe a situation in medieval Europe which might require chivalry out of a person. Make sure to show why that situation would require each polar virtue of chivalry. This concludes the material for Tuesday, April 21st.